You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Western nations are beginning to send tanks to Ukraine in their fight against the Russian aggression. I spoke to Alexander Gillespie from the University of Waikato about the issue and whether it will make a difference on the battlefield. So Ukraine's been asking for tanks for quite a long time, and now the floodgates have opened and every nation wants to give it to them. Why is it important to have tanks on a battlefield?
Well, first off, I'd say Ukraine's been asking for a lot of things for a long time, and they're increasingly getting more of what they requested. And so there's still some things which they're not being given, like fighter aircraft. But what you are seeing is that they are given more increasingly offensive weapons, or weapons that can be used to advance, not just defend. And tanks are the latest example of that. But before Christmas, you saw a number of long-range artillery systems also being given to them. Why tanks are important is because that they provide mobility, and if well used with artillery and soldiers, that they can have a large impact on the battlefield in recapturing disputed territory.
How much of a game changer do you think this is going to be?
I think it's a little bit of a game changer. It's not huge. It's a very complicated war, and we've already seen that when the Russians invaded initially last year with thousands of tanks, that they couldn't succeed in their goal because of defensive mechanisms that the Ukrainians had. The Ukrainians have actually asked for 300 of the Western tanks, the German ones and the American ones and the British ones, but in total they're likely to get probably less than 100. I don't think it's a game changer, but I think it will help the war become much more of a stalemate and end up much more like a World War One trench warfare Somme type situation where both sides are equally balanced and neither one can advance.
It feels like we're in that stage at the moment.
And that becomes a huge problem, because what you've got here is a war which is ultimately unsustainable. And when I say unsustainable, I mean the amount of soldiers that are being killed over there is getting quite large. And for someone like Putin, who's already lost, you know, over 100,000 soldiers, that becomes a problem, not only because he can't win the battlefield, but the more dead soldiers that you have at home, the more internal dissent you create with upset parents, upset loved ones, and those who are very angry that they've lost their children or their sons and their daughters, primarily their sons, in these battles.
You talked about Ukrainians learning how to use Western weapons, and they've been very quick and quite effective at learning Western weapons. Do you think that tanks will be the same?
I imagine they will, and that learning of Western weapons is something that New Zealand's been involved with in training Ukrainian soldiers as well in the UK. It will take time, and it's not just about how to actually use the kit and use the machinery, it's also about how to use it in a integrated way on a very modern battlefield, because the battlefield that you've got today is not like World War II or World War I. It's cyber, and it's all connected, and so it's a completely different type of warfare.
The West giving Ukraine tanks, Russia seems to be shrugging and saying, so what? Do you think that they're secretly worried, or should they be worried?
I think they will be worried. Every step's an escalation, and what you're seeing now increasingly is the best of the Western military technology being pitted against the best of the Russian military technology. And I don't think it will suddenly mean that the Russians will exit all of the Ukraine, because I think that you're going to have a negotiated peace settlement at some point. But this will mean that any hope of a spring offensive by the Russians that will completely overwhelm the opposition is extremely unlikely.
What do you think the next few months of the war will look like? I know you talked about it bogging down into a trench warfare, but it's coming into summer, and we saw a lot of action last summer. But yeah, what do you think is going to happen over the next few months?
I think it will become much more a war of attrition, and you will see significant losses in every area hard fought over. The problem, as I say, is it's unsustainable, and the risk when it's unsustainable will be for the temptation for Putin to do something new and novel to try to break the deadlock on the battlefield, and that's where the risk of using unconventional weapons becomes much more possible.
If it does result in a deadlock, which you said it probably will, what is the likelihood that he'll just snap and start using, as you said, unconventional weapons?
No one knows. And this is the problem, because he's fighting two battles. He's fighting the one war in the Ukraine, which will be his external enemy, but he's also fighting a war internally, which is keeping his control of power and his internal regime intact. And if dissent starts to build up in Russia because of the continual losses to their own soldiers, he may find his own power under threat. If that happens, how he will respond, I don't know. He might say, okay, it's time to negotiate, and they might try to find a treaty in between. But right now, they are a long way away from trying to get any solid ground on a peace deal. Or he might try to escalate that. He might try to escalate it and say, well, I'll try to fight my way out, or scare the opposition out by doing something different. No one knows what will happen if Putin starts to lose.
What would a peace deal look like? Because it seems Ukraine's only demand is Russia completely leaves its territory, including Crimea. But what would a peace deal look like, do you think?
Yeah, the territory is one part of it, and it's a critical part, because whether you will get all of the Ukraine back, including the Crimea, and including the disputed eastern sections, is a difficult topic. But the other considerations of what normally goes into a peace deal are considerations of restoration, like they pay compensation for the damage that they've done. You may also want to be looking at what you do with the war criminals, and whether these people will be brought to justice, or whether perhaps a deal would be made whereby you have a truth commission and these people aren't brought to justice. But it's the territory, it's the restoration, it's the war crimes that you have to settle. And right now, they're nowhere near solving any of them. They're still both belligerent at a point where they are fighting tooth and nail, thinking that they can defeat completely the other one. And I think that's unlikely. So you've got to get to a point where they're both really exhausted and are ready to make a deal, or something different happens.
That was University of Waikato Professor Alexander Gillespie talking about Western nations donating tanks to Ukraine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.